and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on a Friday morning. It is a beautiful day after a rainy day yesterday. We're off the turf today, so keep that in mind as you handicap for this afternoon. But looking forward to the weekend, it looks like it's going to be gorgeous. So we'll hope things hold up, and I expect things will hold up as we proceed going forward. But off the turf today. Today on the show, coming up towards the end of the program, we were out in the far end of Oklahoma yesterday. We were at the Shug McGahee Barn, sat down with Shug and talked a little first captain coming up a little bit later today. We talked some of his horses like Easy Goer and Personal Ensign and got some thoughts on maybe a couple of two-year-olds to watch. All of that coming up a little bit later on. Just before that, Gene Kirshner from the Buffalo News will join us. We will talk to Racing Creskin. We'll see how his picks for this year with the Racing Creskin column have gone and talk a little bit more with Gene as well. But we're going to kick things off with our friend Dave Donk, who is up here, obviously training a string, as he usually is. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you on board. And speaking of coming up here, nice little Belmont meet for you. You had a really nice Saratoga meet last year, which I want to say kind of heated up as we got into the meet and got towards the end of the meet. But I'm curious, do you come up here with goals for Saratoga, or is that tough just because you never know conditions, how your horses are going to match up moving from Belmont to Saratoga?
Well, I've been doing it long enough that most of us have been humbled at some point. So I like to say there's been a lot of horses, riders, trainers, owners that have been humbled. So my objective, listen, we love to be here. Definitely not any goals. Trying to get to the first one, which we haven't yet. So, yeah, you can get streaky. Depends on conditions. Listen, it depends on the weather, off the turf. You know, you got to get a little lucky some of the spots you're in. So, yeah, sometimes you get a little hot and cold. Listen, if they run well, I'm happy. I ran a couple the other day that ran really well, and that's all you can ask.
Yeah, we'll hit on a couple of one towards the end of the Belmont meet and see if you have plans for them in a few. But before we do that, just wanted to talk in general. You're on the NYFA board. You're an honorary board member of the racetrack chaplaincy. And I just wanted to talk a little bit because, obviously, the past year, the horsemen and the organizations that take care of the backstretch workers have been working diligently during the pandemic to make sure everybody kind of got through. And I think racing in general did a great job. I think New York racing did a great job. Just talk a little bit about the perspective of being on the backstretch and how the backstretch workers and everything played out with organizations like the chaplaincy and NYFA.
Yeah. You know, listen, I've been fortunate to be there a long time, have great staff, and, you know, listen, any company, it's about your employees. So, obviously, when the pandemic hit, you know, God, all of us didn't know what was going to happen. A little panic involved, but a lot of great cooperation, you know, starting with NYRA and then with NYFA, with BEST, the chaplaincy, all the groups worked together. You know, they were met twice a day. They had meetings where the Gaming Commission was involved and the governor's office, and obviously had state guidelines and CDC guidelines. The cooperation was phenomenal. And I think it brought everyone a little closer together, you know, communication. And so a lot of cooperative work. You know, the chaplaincy was out there 24/7. You know, Umberto and Karen and Nick Karras and their whole crew, cannot commend them enough. So, yeah, it went as well as to be expected. Didn't know when we would get racing again. And when we did, I think we've all done a great job, and it's flourished a bit.
Yeah, I think exactly the same thing. And talk a little bit about the importance of getting the racing back, because NYRA is a year-round circuit. We love it up here at Saratoga. We're local, so I'm all about Saratoga. But the rest of the year, all of our viewers are playing Belmont. And Aqueduct in the wintertime plays a big part for the horsemen in New York. A lot of folks are based in New York year-round, so that winter racing is very important, and I think it was great that things kept going and kept going as they did. But year-round racing here in New York is important, not just to the racetrack, but to really the economy, because it employs people, and horses have to be fed, so there are off-the-track businesses that benefit from year-round racing in New York as well.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, obviously, we put on the show, but we're a small part of it. It encompasses the whole state. It's, you know, agriculture, green space, yeah, the farms, the breeding industry is huge here in New York, all the jobs it employs. And listen, everyone did a great job. You guys at Capital OTV, a great show. Listen, it gave people something to watch. We didn't have sports. You know, we're all kind of sport nuts. And, you know, the job with Tony Alavito and everyone in NYRA, you know, that show has expanded. The coverage was phenomenal. You know, everyone's done a great job. And I think we've introduced new customers to the game.
Yeah, I think so, too. That has been one of the silver linings of a very dark cloud over the past year. But one of the, you know, as the clouds parted, one of the bright spots was Belmont Stakes Day. There were folks down at Belmont. And then Belmont opened up. And I know some folks that couldn't wait up in our area, that couldn't wait for Saratoga, got down to Belmont and said they had a great time in the couple of weeks before we moved up here to Saratoga. But now things pretty much back to normal, and talk a little bit about the perspective from a trainer. I mean, it is a sport, and sports live off of the fans, and talk about how fun it's been the past couple of weeks up here at Saratoga.
Yeah, listen, I always say the older I get, the more I appreciate it. You know, I have a home here. You know, we love the area, love the town. You know, and it's between the customers, which are our owners, and then our fans, who are our customers. So, you know, we didn't get to see a lot of people for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of pent-up enthusiasm and a lot of family, friends, and you're able to see them again. And, you know, clients are to get back here. And listen, we talked about this setting of this TV spot here for you. There's nothing more beautiful than the backside of Saratoga and in the morning. So, yeah, it's, you know, what they do on the front side in the mornings. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's great to see everybody again. And you know, we'll do the best we can.
Yeah, it's been a fun couple of weeks. The first day was great. Just if you could label a mood, that was an A-plus mood over there. There was, you know, at the racetrack, it's seldom to go through a day and have everybody smiling all day long. But opening day, that was pretty much the way it played out. If folks, you mentioned the Fox show, and if folks watch every once in a while, they have plugged in the nice feature they did on you guys. I guess it was up here last year where it kind of caught you early in the morning and kind of getting things started and whatnot, and I pulled it up and was rewatching it last night. People can find it online if they haven't seen it. It's worth a watch. But you talk about, you know, pretty much showing up here at 5 a.m. So I'm looking, you're, what, 5 hours into your day already. Take us through a Saratoga day.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's kind of like being a farmer. I grew up on a farm, so it's 7 days a week. Listen, if you have a passion for it, it's not work. So yeah, it's not a job. The alarm goes off at 4:30. Love to be here by 5. Training starts at 5:30. You know, it's winding down now, and it'll get quiet here for the next half hour or so at the barn. And then it depends how many runners we have. But, you know, listen, I'm very fortunate. You know, I drill my kids, you know, find something you like to do in life. If you love it, you have a chance to be successful. And listen, I'm very fortunate. I love what I do, and I've got a great staff, great family life. Great clients, and you're in Saratoga, so it doesn't get much better.
That's right. Put the exclamation point on it. You're doing it all in Saratoga, so that certainly. And again, last night I was out researching and just reminded once again. It was funny when you sat down, you brought it up, and you were saying talking to some new fans, and that's why I like this show with where our audience grows up here in Saratoga, and I think there are a lot of new fans, and I think there are a lot of young fans, and I like to take the opportunity to maybe introduce them to some of the game. And you talked about talking to people that didn't remember Woody Stevens, which blows my mind. But you were an assistant for Woody. just remember those days and what that was like. And for folks who don't know, he was a legend who won five straight Belmont Stakes, a record that clearly will never be beat.
Yeah, listen, I always said the biggest break in my career is I got a job working for Woody. And, yeah, listen, a different era, obviously. You know, all facets of life and businesses change, but... you know, it was a different era where, you know, he trained no more than 36 horses. But, you know, it was a great education to be around good horses, good two-year-olds, good clients. And I'm just very fortunate that I was able to stay after, you know, he retired and develop a business here. But, yeah, those are, we talk about the golden years and different eras in life. Those were the golden years. Yeah.
Well, and the record I talked about was enough. But then you talk about one of those Belmont Stakes winners, Conquistador Cielo. Wins the Met, and you talk about how the game has changed. Wins the Met Mile on Monday and comes back and wins the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. Mind-boggling these days.
Boy, the game has changed so much that way. As I like to say, I'm getting a generation or two later than, and I think it's an issue. That's a little bit of an issue in racing. One, the size of the stables. It's very difficult for all racing secretaries across the country. The racing program, stakes programs. Yeah, I mean, 49er ran in every stake in Florida, went to Kentucky to prep for the Derby. He ran twice at Keeneland. He ran in the Lafayette and the Lexington, and then ran in the Derby. You know, now everyone's worried about running back in 6 or 8 weeks. And, you know, listen, politely, I like to say they brainwash owners, the younger owners, and everybody thinks that's the way it's supposed to be. So if everybody runs one back, and listen, I ran a horse back, you know, the Good Maiden the other day in 20 days, and I was like, it's 20 days. Listen, he was burying the feed tub. He breathes a half and 48 and change. What are you supposed to do, sit on him? So, yeah, it's different. Whether it's a negative or not, I don't know. Horses don't run as much. But, yeah, any of us that are around are old enough, and we're around the old-timers. You know, they weren't afraid to get beat, but boy, they weren't afraid to run them.
Yeah, it's certainly, again, that 5-day turnaround for Conquistador Cielo stands out. And again, I will tell people younger or don't remember, go pull up on YouTube some of those races and milestones and whatnot. And again, watching the video, I hadn't really realized it, but you're in Woody's. How'd you wind up with Woody's Barn back here?
Well, listen, I got lucky and got a job with Woody 36 years ago. And that's the only barn I've ever been in. So, you know, when I went on my own and he had Lester horses and we were in the barn together and listen, whoever has been here at NYRA between race secretary and the stall office has allowed me to stay in that barn until it was big enough to be able to fill it. So it's the only spot I've ever been in. You know, I can show you the stall that the five Belmont winners were in every year. That was his stall. So, yeah, a lot of history. Listen, I enjoy the history of the sport, and so I'm very fortunate.
Well, let's talk a little of your history, because I asked the guys to pull up the 1995 Arlington Million. It's a wad, and my colleague Anthony Mormino was talking with you about the horse and track records and whatnot. And, I mean, this guy is just, again, for folks who are new to the game and maybe don't remember a wad, go look up some of his races. But, again, we're talking about the 1995 Arlington Million here, and Awad will get it done in a just an incredible career. We're looking at, what, over $3 million in earnings and a number of great stakes races, including this one. Remember for us the Arlington Million and just the career of Awad.
Yeah, listen, I knew I was fortunate at the time to have him. You know, not a horse with a big pedigree. And, you know, that's kind of the scope of my stable. You know, I don't have the high-priced horses, but looking back at it, it's quite a while ago. So, yeah, really nice horse. And listen, that's the horse that probably set me up for the rest of my career. And it's fun that you can still talk about it, you know, 25 years later, and even people that remember it. So he was an exciting horse. You know, those horses that have that Silky Sullivan run from way off the pace.
But, which everybody loves.
Yeah, and listen, he took us to a lot of places. He did a lot of things for Faye and myself, and you never forget him.
So. And you mentioned also before we went on the air, one, the Sword Dancer. And, the Sword Dancer probably wasn't up here at the time, right?
It was here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Manhattan, won the Secretariat. So, yeah, just went to Tokyo twice.
That's great.
You know, so California a lot, you know. Met Dick Mandela when he had Gentlemen and stuff and allowed me to come in his barn when I would ship out there. And, you know, a lot of relationships then. And it was funny. Christoph was getting started, would have those good grass horses, Billy Mond. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of kind of rivalries, you know. But, yeah, it's, those are hard to come by for a stable like mine. But, yeah, they were special times.
Nice. So. Very nice. Good, as they say. Like to get people who maybe don't remember, go back and look up some of those races because he was very, very good. But let's tell people on some horses maybe you have coming up at the meet. You had a couple of nice winners towards the end of the Belmont meet. As they say, you had a nice little Belmont meet in the spring. First up, we'll take a look at Water's Edge. This will be start number two. The debut effort was a second place finish, but back on July 10th, we're going to look. Number two will be Water's Edge, winning in start number two. And I saw both of the horses we're going to look at worked out up here last Saturday. So talk a little bit about Water's Edge, the win here down at Belmont a few weeks back, and if you're looking for a spot up here.
Oh, yeah. You know, Candy Ride Colt, listen, he was sent to me last fall by John and Sandy on the recommendation of Tom Bush. So I got to give him a lot of credit. It was a dirt horse, meant to be a dirt horse. Had some shins late last fall. We turned him out, brought him back. A really good race first time out. A really well-meant race, so I was a little concerned how tough it was. Got beat ahead, I think, and then came back and was pretty impressive with, I believe, about a 92 buyer number the other day. So, yeah, waiting for the one other van to come back. Probably be an MTO in a race next week, and then the following week in 2 weeks. That condition pops up. So, yeah, he's not going to what he's doing well. We'll breeze again this weekend, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, he looked good there. Also wanted to talk about a nice little two-year-old New York bred. This is going to be the career debut, again, going back to the end of the Belmont meet, June 18th. She's a wild joker, as I say. Also saw this one worked this past Saturday. She's a wild joker. Again, one for one so far with this nice victory. Got to be looking for a spot up here for her.
Yeah, she was pretty impressive here. Probably would have liked to work her a couple more times. The race came up. She had worked quite well, a couple of gate works. The horse that just gets beat on the inside comes back and wins pretty impressively a couple weeks ago. We wanted to run her last week in the Stillwater, it was called, for fillies, and it only got three horses. So they didn't use it. I'm not sure. I've got her nominated to the Adirondack next week. She'll work again this weekend. I don't want to really throw her to the wolves. She's a nice filly. She got a good number that day. But it's a possibility she'll come back then. There is a New York bred stake.
Yeah, you got options being a New York bred.
Yeah, there's a New York bred stake the day before the Travers, kind of a showcase day here. That certainly is an objective, but the Adirondack's a possibility next week.
Do you like that you take confidence? Two things. I mean, obviously you take confidence if the horse she beat comes back and wins the next time, but a nice gutty performance like that in the debut where it's a ding-dong battle and she just won't be beat.
Yeah, she's a lovely filly, a lot of class, carries really good weight. You know, so yeah, she was game. It's nice to see how competitive they want to be. So maybe advantage because she's on the outside. I always say inside. Yeah. It's a disadvantage for a two-year-old, but yeah, really good effort. You'd like to think she's going to move forward off of it.
She's a wild joker, so we'll look for her a little bit later in the meet as well. Dave, we'll let you go. I know it's a busy time here at Saratoga, but we appreciate your taking your time. Look forward to seeing you down in the winner's circle up here at Saratoga with some of these horses or some others. But as I say, appreciate your time. Thanks for the visit.
My pleasure. Appreciate it. Thanks, Seth.
Dave Donk, we will take a break. When we come back, I see him in the green room. Gene Kirshner of the Buffalo News. We'll talk some horse racing with Gene right after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. As promised before the break, we are joined now by our friend Gene Kirshner, racing writer for the Buffalo News. Gene, good morning.
Morning, Seth. Thanks for having me this morning.
Happy to have you on. And why don't we start right with it? You're in town covering Jim Dandy, obviously, but you mentioned when you sat down with us that tomorrow a friend of yours, and I met him through you downtown years ago, John Cansdale, unfortunately passed away, but race in his honor tomorrow. Just remember John a little bit.
Yeah, the third annual John Cansdale Memorial will be race two on Saturday on the Jim Dandy undercard. Turf race. John loved turf racing, so that's one of the reasons. He's my son's godfather, and he's the guy who, you know, introduced me to racing back in the mid-2000s. And, you know, a dear friend. We'll have a lot of family members. And he was the executive director of the Racing and Wagering Board back in 2005 to 2008. So, you know, very, very prominent in this area, that Buffalo native that we like to remember, and he'll have a bunch of Albany folks here too that from the political world that will be here remembering John.
Yeah, as I say, I was lucky enough to get to meet him through you downtown a few times. Nice guy, and so
he was a character.
There you go. So tomorrow, the second race honoring his memory appropriately. You were down, I believe, all three Triple Crown races this year.
I made all three, and I believe I was the only newspaper guy that made all three last year the Travers, because the restrictions in New York.
We'll talk a little bit about that. I was going to ask you how it was different this year, but you can give a great perspective because you compare the two seasons.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. I mean, no fans at all in New York, obviously, and I think they limited it to 17 press members, and I was fortunate enough to be one of them.
Last year,
yeah. Right. And, you know, being able to hear Manny Franco come across the wire and, you know, emit a scream was surreal.
Yeah.
And then you get to the Derby, and I was probably sitting in a $3,500 seat watching the Derby at the finish line that normally, you know, somebody else would be sitting in that seat, and I would be on the infield, you know, watching the race. So definitely a different perspective there. And I actually was sitting with the folks from Max Player because there was a Buffalo connection with Max Player, a gentleman who went to high school in Buffalo, who was part of the sports blocks thoroughbreds group. So it was interesting there, and got to hear Asmussen after the race talk about how, you know, Max Player got caught down on the wire. And, you know, I remember talking to DiPirio, who was the fellow from Buffalo, about Max Player, saying that he's going to be a good four-year-old. You know, honor code, you know, was a good four-year-old, and
yeah,
came right back to win, you know, that big stake recently. So. And then the Preakness was very restricted. We were pretty much stuck in the box, pretty much weren't able to get out. But I stood with Frank Vespi from the Racing Biz,
sure,
right off the finish line and watched that race. But again, there was nobody there, and it just a weird situation. And history made in the Preakness was Skydiver winning a filly. So while it was an interesting year, it was just, you know, I don't want to ever do that again.
Yeah,
that's
no.
One thing. But I was fortunate to get to all three and the Traverse. So.
Same thing up here, because we had, you know, Mike McAdam and Tim Wilkin and I were the three regulars, but other folks cycled through the auxiliary press box, which was the upstairs dining room. And we were all saying, man, we like these seats all the time, but we're not going to get them. But again, Swiss Skydiver, a great performance up here in the Alabama. But nobody's here to enjoy it. Tis the law in the Traverse. Nobody's here to enjoy it. But now talk about this year, going to the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, all of which were a little bit more limited. But this weekend you'll get to experience. I think you'll appreciate fans back tomorrow here at Saratoga. But it was a little bit different, the Triple Crown, this year.
It was different. It was because at the Preakness and the Derby, or at the Preakness and the Belmont, you know, it was limited to around 10,000-12,000 fans. So, I mean, it didn't have the feel, looking out over the infield at the Preakness was bizarre. I mean, while they had some music going on, it wasn't the normal, you know, crazed infield and people all over the place and having a great time. The Derby kind of felt normal with about, you know, 50,000 fans and nobody on the infield. So that's typically kind of what it was like anyway when you were there. And I got the feel that was when, to me, the world was really starting to open up. When I, you know, got back from the Derby, I told my wife, I'm like, it was like being at the Derby.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's a lot of people, and, you know, I didn't have the $3,500 seats this year, you know, that I had last year to sit in to watch the finish of the race. But, and then the Belmont, you know, was a good race, I thought. And I think Essential Quality, who's running this weekend, obviously asserted himself in the three-year-old division, and hopefully we'll see him continue.
Yeah, he got back up to the top of the class, obviously. All right, one of the reasons I wanted to have you in, I always like to review either at the end of the year or when we get you lucky enough to get you in here, the half year, the Racing Kreskin column, which I printed out if people aren't up to date there, Gene, every year. As we get to the end of the year, the beginning of the year, does the Racing Kreskin, where he looks into the crystal ball and makes some bold predictions year in and year out. It's always a lot of fun. So I thought we'd hit on some of your thoughts going into 2021. Derby winner will come out of the Arkansas Derby. Oof, that was a tough one because you only wound up with one Arkansas Derby winner, Superstock, in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, and he wasn't on my ticket for sure. But, you know, Arkansas Derby's, you know, produced some good winners over the years, the American Pharoah and whatnot.
And it's now a strong series down there, so that was a pretty good...
It wasn't a bad guess, let's put it that way. The Florida Derby's pretty strong, too, but, you know, I've been going with that one the last few years, so I like to mix it
change
up a little
it,
bit.
Change yeah, it up. Sure. Javier Castellano will get the Derby monkey off his back. Castellano was on Highly Motivated, but winds up 10th. So it was either John Velasquez or maybe Florent Giroux. We still have to wait to see who the winning jockey is.
Yeah, it's not Javi. He'll get off the duck someday, I think. You know, it took a while for Johnny Velasquez to win his first Derby when he finally did with Animal Kingdom, and I think Javi will get off the duck at some point.
We will have a Canadian Triple Crown winner. That one's still...
It's still up there. I think I'm like 2 for 8 right now in these picks. But, you know, last year Mighty Heart made a good run at it. He won the first two legs, and that hadn't happened since Wando actually pulled off the triple in 2003. So, you know, it'd be great. I'm not sure if Weyburn is going to make the trip up there. Doesn't sound like it from my talks with some of the folks at NYRA this morning.
And Mighty Heart has come back to run very well as a four-year-old.
Oh, absolutely.
So that horse just kind of validated what we saw, even though it was, as you say, only a couple of legs last year. One of your more bold predictions every year is the Haskell hat color. I give you credit for taking the shot. You said black, turned out to be blue.
It was blue. I thought it would be black. I miss this one every year. I mean, it's hard.
That
you know,
is a
sometimes
bowl. That's
sometimes
a
you bowl. Think it's the color of the winners from the prior year, and you can try to, you know, figure that out. But I have actually looked at the patterns of the winners on that one to see, you know, if there's a, you know, some type of pattern that maybe, oh, it's going to be green this year. I did hit it one year. It's not impossible.
It is a bold swing, so I give you credit just for that. Horse is going to have the Preakness Belmont double. It was Ron Bauer winning the Preakness. Essential Quality won the Belmont.
But I had a shot with that one, right?
You were third in the Belmont.
It was third in the Belmont.
Yeah,
we had a shot at pulling off that one. And that's a bold pick because that hasn't happened that
long. That was another bold pick. One I am definitely giving you credit for, the Kentucky Derby winner will come from a middle gate between 7 and 13. It was number 8, Medina Spirit, so you hit that, and either way it goes, even if they make the decision, number 7, Mandaloon. You get it either way.
I got it either way on that one, so that's a winner.
So you chalk that one up. Charlatan didn't run in the Pegasus. That, again, that was a bold prediction. The Holy Bull winner will not come back to win the Florida Derby.
Greatest honor.
Winds up running third in the Florida Derby, so you score there as well.
I did. Yeah. That was my gimme. I got to get one. I got shut out last year, so I had to give myself one. I used to give myself, well, Pletcher's going to be the winning trainer at Saratoga. That used to be my, my gimme, the putt.
Now I'm thinking about it, every year you should have a Saratoga one in here.
Yeah.
But you also have still floating out there an East Coast horse wins the Classic, so. You're still alive with a couple in here.
I always like to put the Biggie Tupac thing in there. Just we might East Coast is going to do it. Well, Mystic Guide looks good.
Yeah,
I
think you're alive with that one certainly. Before we let you go, I want to take a look and get some of your opinions on the racing that is coming up, as you'll be in here this weekend covering some of the races for the Buffalo News. And again, you can get the Racing Kreskin columns or. Any of Gene's work, just type in Gene Kirshner and Buffalo News into Google, and we'll bring it right to his thoughts. But let's get some thoughts this afternoon on the Curlin. And I'm not enamored necessarily with First Captain. That said, I didn't find anybody else that pulled me in any direction. But I'm going to pull up a replay here from the Wood Memorial. We'll see Dynamic One, the number 5 horse, run a close-up second behind number 3, Bourbonic. I thought Dynamic One was a little bit interesting. Snowhouse maybe a little bit interesting as well. But as I say, I just wound up landing on First Captain, even though I'm not totally enamored. But what are your thoughts in the Curlin?
So First Captain, West Point horse. If you came out of the Naval Academy with all the rain yesterday, I might say that, he might be a better chance. But, it's just, seriously, it's his first time around 2 turns. Going 2 turns for the first time, it's that short a price may be something that I probably wouldn't look at. I looked at 2 other horses other than Dynamic One and First Captain, Snowhouse, who's got some. It should be a wet track later in the day. Still,
I would think.
He's 1-for-1, on a sloppy track or off track. He's improving. Brad Cox. He's got the. The breeding with Bernardini mare, Twirling Candy, got a good shot. But the one I'm interested in is Harvard. Those horses coming out of Churchill Downs have done well here at the Spa. He's got Luis Saez, who's obviously riding lights out. He had a really nice allowance race. He beat Dak Daniels, who has a win here at the Spa. So, he's probably my longer shot looking at it. I wouldn't count out Dynamic One. You can probably draw a line through his Derby.
That's what I was doing.
He was looked promising. I know Scott Shapiro loved him at the Derby, and he's a fine handicapper, and I'd have him on my ticket. So
yeah, as I say, the Derby I was just kind of counting out, and then it shown a little bit of promise with that Wood Memorial. It's Todd Fletcher, so I thought that one was.
But Harvard's the horse that I would, I'm going to maybe take a shot with.
I'm going to be interested to see what he winds up as a price, as you were talking about. He's 6-1 on the morning line. It's only a 7-horse field, but I think with the names and whatnot in here, I think you're going to get some decent value on Harvard if you like that horse. And there is some early speed and off track, some early speed that might be dangerous. Let's go to tomorrow, and we'll just kind of go in chronological order through the 3 stakes, the Vanderbilt. And tomorrow on Racing Across America, I caught up with Ron Laquette over at the Stakes Barn yesterday. He and his wife, Laura, had a fun visit with them. And Whitmore came out of the stall and was rolling in the sand a little bit. So that's tomorrow on Racing Across America with Ron. And I wound up taking Whitmore. Now, I'm going to pull up the replay from the Churchill Downs where Whitmore runs third. Behind Lexingtonian, they're both in on Saturday. I'm not totally convinced on Whitmore, but I just thought he's in pretty good form. I'm going to go in that direction. Has a win over the track, won the 4 go a couple seasons back. Special Reserve is interesting to me. Mischievous Alex. But as I said, I went with Whitmore off of this close-up third place finish last time. As you can see, nice ding-dong battle there. Your thoughts on the Vanderbilt?
you know, Seth Whitmore's a cool horse.
Yeah,
he's probably the coolest horse out there.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, 8-year-old gelding, you know. And he, at this distance, 6 furlongs, he's in the money 24 out of 26, you know, so you know he loves the distance. And out of those 24 in the monies, 22 of them are first or second. So, you know, you can't go wrong. Yeah. Put him in your mix.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like him second. I'm chalk here. I mean, Mr. Vitalis, I think, you know, his Met Mile is pretty impressive. And shortening up.
Yeah, he's going to appreciate the cutback.
He's going to like it. He's got IRAD aboard. I mean, yeah. What's not to like there? So Special Reserve is a horse I think is dangerous and on the improve. You know, he's a midshipman. Won the Dirt Mile, right? Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So he's a good maker's red hot. So he's got two. He's come in with two good races. You know, not too many Prairie Meadows last outs win here at the Spa, but you know, he'll be a decent price. I think he may be overlooked.
That's what I wonder. Off of a Prairie Meadows race, do they overlook him? And he comes in off a 2 triple-digit buyer win. So I had him down in the third slot. But, if you get a little bit of value there, I certainly would not ignore Special Reserve. Jim Dandy on Saturday, grade two event, mile and an eighth. I just couldn't get past, you know, we've already mentioned Essential Quality is now, you know, stamped himself as the leader in the division at this point with the Belmont Stakes win. The only blemish on the record was the fourth place in the Derby. I just think he has the edge on this field. But Weyburn to me is Weyburn and Masquerade. Masquerade could be moving in the right direction off the Ohio Derby victory. But Weyburn for Jimmy Jerkins, the Pegasus second to Mandaloon and the Gotham win. I'm intrigued to see what Weyburn does on Saturday. What are your thoughts in the and we're going to look at the Pegasus. This is the Pegasus. Again, Mandaloon wins. Weyburn runs second. But what are your thoughts in the Jim Dandy?
I went 5-3-2-1 Essential Quality. I think, he's the prohibitive favorite. This is the graveyard of favorites, though.
As
Malafat found out last weekend. But, you know, it is his first trip to the Spa, right? So this is his first race here. But there's a lot of class there, and it's hard to get past that. I think Weyburn's Pegasus stake at Monmouth is, I think he's dangerous. You know, Mandaloon came back and ran well in the Haskell. I don't know if he got the best ride in the Haskell. You know, Dylan was looking back a few times, He's the one I would worry about. Masquerade, I saw him on Derby Day. He just destroyed that field. And you know, on Derby Day, there's good horses in every race.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, to get on that card.
Yeah.
So to beat that field by 11 lengths, so you got to think he's bringing in Stalls, bringing in Mena to ride again here. He's not a regular here at the Spa. So it'd be his first race, but. I don't know. He's in the mix. I think Dr. Jackal is a horse that, you know, could be used underneath.
I think in the fourth spot. I wasn't sure what to do.
He's more of a Traverse horse. I think he'd go longer.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a Pletcher move, right?
Yeah.
Get him in here. Get him, you know, get him the workout at a mile and an eighth, and then surprise everybody in the Traverse at the longer distance. He's out of an AP Indy.
I mean, lately
AP Indy mare and a Pioneer of the Nile. I mean, he's got the breeding to go long.
Yeah,
so
there's still some upside you would have to think with that one. And finally, the Bowling Green. I'm going to pull up the allowance event from June 26th down at Belmont, and it's going to be Rock Emperor will be the number 3 horse on this replay. I'm going to tilt in that direction. I mean, I think you have a few horses in here, my top two at least, that last time out got some confidence builders and optional claimers, and I think that's the case here with Rock Emperor. But coming out of that race, I just think might be set up to run well. 6-1, Joel Rosario, Chad Brown. Cross Borders in my mix, then Channel Maker. I think it's a fun race. How do you see the Bowling Green?
This one's a wide open race, which is where I like to take shots. So
yeah.
I actually took a shot here with Moon Over Miami, and as a Buffalo guy, Miami's our arch rival, and I don't usually favor anything from Miami. But looking at him, I mean, only beat a neck in that Man of War, a Grade One, so he was right there. In a big race, he might get overlooked. So that's why I like to look at Junior Alvarado. Is a tough rider. Bill Mott's got like 3 in this race, right? So I like Channel Maker second. You know, he's a solid horse. He's got the numbers that could do it. You just worry about he's coming back from Dubai. To see what's going on
I
there.
I might have been tempted to put him on top except for the, you know, around the world trip.
I mean, I like Rock Emperor, too. I mean, I was kind of toying with him up top on top of the ticket, but with Chad, you know, on the turf. And, you know, he's a solid horse. And then I had Channel Cat, who I think will go out the lead and probably I had him fading to fourth.
That's kind of.
So I went 7-5-4-1.
Very good.
In the Bowling Green.
Again, nice weekend on tap, curling this afternoon, and things are going to be drying out because it's a beautiful day here. By tomorrow in the stakes action, it should be gorgeous. So if you're planning to come up, stick to those plans because a few nice days ahead. So you made the nice trip from Buffalo on what's going to be a nice weekend. And appreciate you having you in town. Again, I'll tell people to go by Buffalo News and check out Gene's work on the big racing weekends and beyond. Appreciate your swinging by this morning.
Thanks, Seth. Appreciate you having me on.
Gene Kirstner, racing writer for the Buffalo News. We'll take a break when we come back. Again, we taped yesterday far side of the Oklahoma with Shug McGahey. We'll talk a little first captain today and more all right after this.
Turf, 14 of them across the track. Set on their way. And of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stein. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shoving. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shoving. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shoving Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shoving Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's watered.
Monster Chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the Chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. Seth Merrill live from our Clear Court TV set. But we moved off the set yesterday and, as they say, went to the far end of Oklahoma. Really a nice spot back there. It's the Shug McGahey Barn. We caught up with Shug, talked a little first captain this afternoon, hit on some of his bigger horses throughout the career, and then got a little heads up on some two-year-olds to watch this season. All of that with Shug McGahey, and that is up next. Trainer Shug McGahey. Shug, good morning. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Thanks.
And before we get to some of the horses, I just got a comment. I said to you, this is gorgeous back here. You're in a far corner of Oklahoma. How long has this been your Saratoga base? And just talk about really a special little place back here.
A long time. Summer of 1985, these big trees here, Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons planted. It is a special place back here. You know, you're back here by yourself. You don't hear the races. We always sort of get, no matter how hot it is, a little bit of a breeze to where, you know, it's never really too bad. So, you know, and with our paddocks here, you know, we got two nice walking rings, and a lot of grazing area. So, you know, my people keep it up good. So, you know, it's kind of a fun place to come to.
Yeah, gorgeous, and the trees and whatnot. It really is a really very nice little spot back here, as they say, in the far corner of Oklahoma. Let's talk some of the horses. Let's hit our first captain. Goes in the Curlin on Friday afternoon. And while we talk to the guys in the control room, we'll play a replay of the debut effort. I do the handicapping show down in Albany in our studio in the afternoon. I was doing it that day. Obviously, there was a little bit of buzz on first captain. And about the eighth pole, I thought, well, it'll be a useful third place finish. And then the light bulb turned on, and he came and beat a next out Pletcher winner. Give me your takeaway from the debut effort.
A lot like yours. You know, I thought, well, we're down in here, and he's getting a good schooling, you know, that's okay with me. You know, like you say, then the light bulb went off and he went on and finished up big. And, you know, I knew Todd liked his horse. He came back and won the next start and ran fast. And, you know, this first captain's continued to improve.
Yeah, he certainly has looked good in the first three starts, undefeated. He followed up the debut with an allowance win. We'll also take a look at the stretch run to the Dwyer. That was his stakes debut, obviously, in start number three only. Your takeaway from the Dwyer?
Well, the first two times he ran, he made some mistakes in his race. So I was just sort of waiting to sort of see what does he want to do and how does he want to do it. And in the Dwyer, I kind of saw it. You know, he laid back. When it was time to go, he came and got him. And it looked like to me that, you know, we can move on now to a two-turn race going a little bit farther. He's bred to go farther. I've been particularly happy with the way he's trained up here. Since he got up here, I'm really glad I got the Dwyer in him. One of my thoughts after he won the Louts race was just running right straight into Curlin. Kind of what I see now, I think that would have been maybe a mistake. So I feel pretty good about where we sit.
Yeah, I want to say maybe it was the winner's circle of Dwyer they were talking to, and you said you were thinking Curlin, but he was kind of tearing down the barn.
Yeah, he was doing good. The race kind of came up the right way. It was a grade three stake, so... you know, my thought was if we could win it, we were going to cut a lot of stones. And, you know, just watching him and being up here and thinking about it, I'm really glad that we ran him in the Dwyer.
Have you seen a nice steady progression from him throughout the first three starts?
You know, the one thing people don't realize, this horse lost his whole two-year-old year. And so I think he's behind. But I think we've made great progress from the Dwyer to today.
And talk a little bit about, obviously, the Curlin, two turns. What are your thoughts as he will stretch out on Friday afternoon?
Well, obviously, I'm hoping that that's what he wants to do. And, you know, I think that is what he wants to do. And I think that showed me in the Dwyer kind of what he wanted to do. You know, when it was over with, I thought, well, now I can see, you know, mile and eight, two turns. His mother was that way. Curlin was that way. You know, his mother ran and kind of all the long filly and mare races, and, you know, I knew that. But, you know, I wanted to get him schooled a little bit, too, before I threw him to the wolves. And, you know, as you know, the water gets a little deeper tomorrow, and we'll see how he handles it.
And you kind of alluded to it already, but how's he taken to Saratoga since he's been
trained,
here?
He's trained really, really well here. He's trained, you know, basically trained him on the Oklahoma training track, and he hasn't missed a beat. Everything's been good.
Very good. And so we wish you a lot of luck on Friday afternoon in the Curlin. Wanted to hit on some other thoughts as well. You've won the Derby with Orb. You've won the Travers four times, Code of Honor, Coronado's Quest, Rhythm, and Easy Goer. I'm just curious, given, you know, I've pulled up a list of some of the horses you've had at Easy Goer, Lore, Personal Ensign. I won't ask you to pick a favorite horse, but I wonder if you have a favorite race.
Well, you know, Easy Goer's race, I mean, he was a horse of a lifetime.
But it's still Le Voyageur in his American debut, leading the pack three parts of a length. Now Pat Valenzuela asks for speed, and the Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Sunday Silence responds. Easy Goer is also closing in on the top two. Midway around the turn, Sunday Silence takes the lead and looks to the Triple Crown. Here comes Easy Goer on the outside to challenge. Le Voyageur is hanging tough. Those three across the track, and the others are far back, a quarter of a mile to go in the Belmont. Easy Goer on the outside takes command. Sunday Silence moves to the outside for the drive. Le Voyageur is now in third. And
down the stretch they come. It's Easy Goer with a furlong to the finish in front by five. Sunday Silence appears beaten. The Voyager is third. Down the stretch, and it's Easy Goer with Pat Day winning the Belmont and denying Sunday Silence the Triple Crown.
And for him to do what he did and winning the Belmont was probably because I never won a classic race. Mr. Phipps had never won a classic race. He was a homebred, which all the Phipps' horses basically were, and he was out of Relaxing, who was one of Mr. Phipps' favorites. So I think probably the Belmont with Easy Goer, and everybody always wanted to make a big deal, and they still do a little bit about denying Sunday Silence the Triple Crown. Well, that wasn't what I was doing. I was trying to win a Belmont.
Sure. Absolutely. But I have to ask you, one of my all-time favorite races, and I think one of the things we like to do with the show up here, or I like to do, I think at Saratoga our audience goes up, and I think we get a lot of new people, so it allows us to maybe bring up some history that newer fans aren't familiar with. So I wanted to talk a little bit about and get your impressions and thoughts back to Personal Ensign and the Breeders' Cup Distaff, which was one of my all-time favorite races. I'm sure it ranks as one of the all-time best Breeders' Cup races. She comes in undefeated, about the eighth pole. It looks like that streak is going to end.
Off the lead as they continue up the backstretch. It's still winning colors. Loose on the lead by 2.5. Shamsay is running second. On the outside, Goodbye Hilo in striking position is third. Will on the Move is Asked for More run fourth. Personal Ensign is still 8 lengths out of it. There's a half mile to run, and Winning Colors doing what she did in the Derby. She's still free running on the lead. 3 furlongs to run, and she leads now by 3. Goodbye Hilo beginning to pick it up in second now. Shamsay is third toward the rail. Personal Ensign is putting her run in on the inside now, and she takes to the outside. 5 lengths off the lead of Winning Colors, who turns for home here at Churchill Downs. Stevens going to a vigorous left-handed whip, holding on by 2. Goodbye Hilo is charging hard. Here comes Personal Ensign, unleashing a furious run on the outside, but it is still Winning Colors. Goodbye Hilo. Personal Ensign, a 1/16 of a mile from the wire. Winning Colors is there. Personal Ensign, a dramatic finish, and here is the wire, and it is Personal Ensign there with Winning Colors in a photo.
And then she gets up to beat Winning Colors to keep the undefeated.
It was one of your favorite races because you were a fan. You know, I wasn't so happy about it till the last jump myself. And I remember walking down out of the stands and back through Churchill, and they had a TV, and I said, well, hell, I thought she went maybe one a little farther than that, more than that, but it was a short nose. But it was a very, very important win because 4-1, if she had been 12-1, wouldn't have been anything close to 13-0. And, you know, I knew she was going home to be a broodmare right after that race. And, which I was glad of, you know. I mean, when it was over, I said, I've done all I can do, you know. And so it was a very, very important race. But like I say, it wasn't till the last jump. It wasn't my favorite.
But as I say, it ranks up there now as one of the all-time best Breeders' Cup races in the whole story and the undefeated career as well. I pulled up an interview you did a few years ago, and it's just, again, to get fans into the game. And up here at Saratoga, I think a lot of young people get up here and get that fascination with racing. And you said you got into the game because you went to the track and you were just fascinated with how things ran at the track and went at the track. Talk a little bit about how you got into the game.
Well, my family wasn't involved in it at all, but we were from, you know, I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky. So, you know, the talk was always when the horses came to town in the spring and the fall was Keeneland. My father, when I was young, would take me out, you know, maybe one day in the spring and one day in the fall. And I fell in love with the atmosphere of the whole thing, you know. And I remember, you know, the old Daily Racing Form, and people would take the Keeneland PPs out and throw the rest of the form away, and I'd pick that up and go home and read it and stick it under my bed, and sometime else I'd get it back out and read it again. But that was basically, I liked the, you know, going up and betting the $2, and you know, it was all kind of different then. You know, if you won, they used to have a little thing there that wrote the prices out, and I'd be the little guy sitting up there. And I sort of learned the windows I could go to where nobody questioned me on how old I was. And so that was basically. Then when I got, you know, kind of old enough to drive and stuff after school, I'd go out there when horses came to town. And you know, that was pretty much how my interest grew. And then I drew a high draft lottery number in the early 70s. And so I went to work for a friend of mine out at Keeneland, just as a hot walker, and I did everything. And loved every minute of it. You know, was making $40 a week, 7 days a week. You know, I mean, I was learning. Everything was brand new to me. So I was learning. I was enjoying that little piece of it, and it just kind of progressed from there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had forgotten all about that. They used to have that little window that they would write the prices on and put it. There is something that the fans now. I don't even know if you can Google that. That is a real throwback. Speaking of the fans, talk a little bit about this year and having the fans back. And you know, you guys are in a sport. All sports, I think, get their lifeblood from the fans. And certainly, racing did a great job over the past year going through the pandemic. But it has to be fun getting the fans back in the stands.
Well, racing did a tremendous job because we got to keep going, but a lot of the others didn't. And, well, it's fun. You know, it's always an energetic bunch up here, and the people look forward to coming to Saratoga for usually August. And, you know, they're fans, and they like the horses, and they like the people. And, you know, they're always, you know, if you're out somewhere, they're always energetic to sort of introduce themselves or, you know, want a picture or something like that, and that makes it all fun, you know, and the enthusiasm when you're over there, you know, running one, and makes it a whole lot better than walking in that empty building.
Yeah, I always say Saratoga is more than what's inside the fence at the racetrack, because you go downtown and people at the next table are talking about the Daily Double and that kind of thing, which makes it a lot of fun. You're back here on the Oklahoma track. I'm just curious, as the season ended last year, they started a big renovation project and ended just before the horses came back this spring. What are your impressions of the new Oklahoma?
Well, I think it's very good. I think they did a great job. I mean, I was a big fan of the old Oklahoma 20, 25 years ago when it was yay deep. But I think that Glenn and his crew have done a tremendous job here of kind of upgrading this track. It takes the water really well. They had some things going on underneath it that we didn't really know, because you couldn't see, like tree roots growing up underneath it, and they got all that taken care of and got a good solid base into it. And you know, it's pretty much, you know, we've had a lot of rain since we've been up here, and they seal it down. If you needed to breeze in the morning, you could breeze. And I think that's kind of the compliment of a really good track.
Yeah, all the reports have been, you know, thumbs up, so I'm glad to hear it from you who have been back here for a while. Let's hit on, just before we let you go, some horses. I mentioned before we went on the air, Star Command and Dreams of Tomorrow, a couple of nice winners for you right towards the end of the Belmont meet, and you have some plans for them coming up.
Dreams of Tomorrow is a horse we've always sort of liked, and, you know, he's got a wonderful pedigree, and it just took him a little while to kind of get it all together. And he's won two in a row now and was third in the stake in Maryland before that. So he's going to run in the Lure Stakes here, you know, the first part of August at going a mile and 16th on the turf. And then Star Command has really kind of come into her own. You know, her races last year were all pretty good, but she, you know, she's really progressed a lot, not only in her races, but in her looks too. And you know, I thought the day she broke her maiden, one thing is I thought Jose Ortiz rode her great that day. And he'd done his homework really well. He'd seen where the horse that was second to her, it was probably the favorite. He had to change the riders from a Bug Boy to Johnny Velasquez, so he said, I knew I was going to have to pounce early. And then she came back and was off the turf, and she won, you know, really easy with Rosario, and I'm planning on running her. I'm going to take a long look at the Della Rose.
Very good.
She's been training really well. You know, might be the time to take a shot, you know.
So we'll look for both of them. And just before we let you go, any one or two two-year-olds we should keep our eyes open
for? Yeah, I've got some. I've got a horse here called Montauk Point that ran earlier in the meet. He's Violence. He's out of mare called Antics. He's a half-brother to Caffetti. And you know, I've got a couple in. I've got a nice Warfront filly that's in today called Gunboat. And we've got a horse called Fort Ticonderoga that I ran second in an off-the-turf race down at Belmont. We'll bring him up here and run him on the turf, and I think that'll kind of be what he wants. So, you know, we're happy with our two-year-olds, and I've got a distorted humor colt that's still at Fair Hill, but he's going to be coming up here pretty soon. I just, with the herpes thing, we just had a little bit of hard time moving horses back and forth, so I'm hoping he's going to come up here maybe on Sunday or so, that has trained good down there and belongs to Cortland Farm. So, you know, we'll...
What's his name?
His name's Judge Davis.
All right, we'll look for him.
And so, you know, I think we've got some things to look forward to, and, you know, we'll see how it all pans out.
Well, we'll certainly wish you a lot of good luck Friday afternoon with First Captain, our friends at West Point and Company, with that one. Wish you good luck going forward on the meet, and I know it's always a busy time, so we really appreciate your taking the time.
Okay, well, thank you.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
That was fun. A nice interview with Shug McGahee again. His little barn, little slice of heaven there in the backyard of Oklahoma, the far end. Really, really nice spot. And Brian came out and was videotaping. Brian Dorenzo was videotaping yesterday. Got some nice shots, so I hope you got a kind of a feel for the lay of the land out there. But it was great that Shug could take some time, talk some First Captain this afternoon. Some easy goer, a little personal ensign, gave you a little update on some two-year-olds as well. So, again, appreciate Chuck taking the time yesterday to sit with us. Appreciate Gene Kirshner and Dave Donk taking the time to sit live with us this morning. Always a busy time up in Saratoga, so we always appreciate the visits from the various folks. So hopefully you enjoyed the hour as well. But before we wrap it up, do want to update you on the promos that are coming up throughout the weekend here at Capital OTB. Friday, the Bounty Bet returns. That's today, obviously, $806 up for grabs in the Bounty. It's the late pick five here at Saratoga. Play with your Capital OTB bet account, and you have a shot at pulling down the Bounty. Friday, today, here at the Clubhouse Racebook, or I say here at the Clubhouse, I'm here at Saratoga, down at the Clubhouse Racebook, the $100 Trifecta Challenge. So if that's going to be your venue for watching the races today, take advantage of the Trifecta Challenge at the Racebook. Tomorrow it's the Syndicate, but again, I'm reasonably certain that the Syndicate is closed for this week. It's first come, first serve. But we bring it up because there'll be a Syndicate every Saturday here at Saratoga. For a modest amount of money, you get in on a big pick ticket. And the Syndicate opens every Sunday. So swing by, if you're not in this week, swing by Sunday, capitalotb.com, and put your name in to potentially get onto next week's Syndicate. Tomorrow there's a $100 pick three bankroll that I will have for a select team. You can check the website to potentially get on the pick three team tomorrow, Saturday, at the Racebook. It's the Play the Board contest. So, again, if that's your venue, you can have a little extra fun tomorrow with the Play the Board. Sunday there's going to be a show pool bankroll that I will have. Again, check the website to try to get on that team. And Sunday at the Clubhouse Racebook, pick four in a match bet promotion. coming up as well. Also want to alert you, you still have about an hour. If you're up here in this area, stop by the Racing Museum. Check out our friend Lenny Shulman. He'll be signing copies today until noon at the Racing Museum right across the street. His new book, Head to Head, Conversations with a Generation of Horse Racing Legends. Highly recommended. And again, Lenny is signing copies today. Currently, he'll be there until noontime at the museum today. Tomorrow, it's PDJF Awareness Day. Again, that is the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, a really worthwhile charity. And so take advantage tomorrow to not only give to the charity, but you get a little something back. They will have a jockey autograph session here at the track tomorrow, 11:30 to 12:30. All your favorite jockeys will be there out by the Silks Room. You can get in line, get an autograph, make a little donation to PDJF, and you'll feel good about making the donation, and you'll feel good maybe getting some autographs from some of your favorite jockeys. That's tomorrow right here at the racetrack, PDJF Awareness Day. Don't forget also, I always like to keep touting, because I think it's fun and I think it helps handicappers. You have to think a little bit differently. The Low Rollers Contest. I didn't get in yesterday. Out of the four they've done so far, I've only gotten in once. I jumped in last Sunday. Got off to a good start, and then I just couldn't keep the momentum going. But the Low Rollers Contest up here at the track is a lot of fun. They're doing it every Thursday and Sunday. You can sign up in the four-star Dave area. So keep that in mind. This Sunday, the Low Rollers returns again. And as I say, the contests are fun. You have to think a little bit differently. Make sure you're firing for some value and have some fun. And maybe you win a little extra money on the day. So keep that in mind as well. All right, I will wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America, live from the backstretch at Saratoga. Really, as always, appreciate your visiting with us. It was a fun day today. Weather's great. We're off the turf, but it looks like otherwise a really great afternoon up here at Saratoga. The weekend is looking fabulous with a lot of great stakes action. Tomorrow on Racing Across America, we already taped an interview with Ron Maquette and his wife Laura. They have Whitmore and the Vanderbilt, and we expect Brad Cox to join us tomorrow as well, obviously with Essential Quality and the Jim Dandy. So tomorrow's Racing Across America should be a lot of fun also. And we hope you tune in, and we hope you tune in loaded with money in your pockets. So that'll be the game plan for this afternoon. Bet, make some money. Tune back in tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. for Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. It's from the track, the Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for Life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.